from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Buffalo Sabres make their selection. 14th overall pick, Konsta Hellenius from Ucarit in Liga. Played last year, 51 games, 36 points, 14 goals, and 22 assists. Some of the best production from a Finnish prospect, only behind Alexander Barkov and Patrick Laine. He's expected to join Tappara next year on a one-year deal. They are considered the best team in Finland, so we'll have to see how that pans out for Hellenius, but he is the newest Buffalo Sabre.
Thank you, Josh. Josh Schmidt, Brayton Wilson, Brian Colziel here at Amherst, Paul Hamilton at the Sphere. We have had Detroit pick, and St. Louis is about to pick. So we'll take the Blues pick live here, then we'll get you caught up to date here on what we missed there during the commercial break. But Konsta Hellenius, the center, Ucarit of the Finnish League, is the Sabre selection, 14 overall. We know that there was not a trade, despite a lot of talk about it. We'll talk more about that here in a moment. If you want to join us, it's 803-0550. But back to Vegas and the Blues at pick 16.
Blues are pleased to select defenseman Adam Juracek, HC Slant.
All right. It is Adam Juracek, the defenseman from the Czech League. And Brayton, is this a round where you were nodding your head as if to say, like, yep, this makes sense here?
Yep, makes total sense. Younger brother of David Juracek, former 6th overall pick of the Columbus Blue Jackets. And I think what hurt Juracek from maybe going a little higher this year, because I think in the earlier projections, like preseason projections, maybe even mid-season projections, Juracek was perhaps projected to go as a top 10 defenseman. And he injured his knee at the World Junior Championships, a pretty significant knee injury that forced him to miss much of the rest of the year. But certainly a guy who has a ton of potential in terms of his two-way game. Super, has a really good mind to be a pretty aggressive defenseman while being pretty solid in his own end. Skates pretty well. But again, the knee injury hampered him and didn't allow him to get on the ice. So a lot of scouts and a lot of others didn't get the chance to see him much. But still a talented enough defenseman where the Blues see him as a potential versatile guy that they can utilize on the blue line for years to come. I like the pick, at least.
Yeah. Pierre LeBrun, I want to just throw this out there, because this is a player that we've been talking about. Martin Natchez, we know of Carolina. He says, this is from LeBrun, just 1 minute ago, says one potential trade scenario involving Martin Natchez now off the table with all of the top 15 picks gone. The Canes would have definitely gotten one of those picks in a trade scenario as part of a package for Natchez. It doesn't mean he won't get eventually dealt, but it obviously now won't be tonight. And that Brayton was obviously a player that Sabre fans, I'm sure, were thinking that that could have been an option for that 14th overall pick with the Sabres. In terms of, you know, return, we know, again, it's not like Kevin Adams can't trade for him if that's something that wants to happen, but it at least it won't involve, as Pierre said, a pick tonight.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I would say never in terms of just, you know, the possibility of trading him. But I will say that these big player trades don't happen often on the night of the draft as the draft is going on.
Is it just because NHL GMs just are so hesitant to do these things? Like, we know they're a more conservative group than these other sports leagues are in 100%. Terms of making moves.
100%. Yeah. It makes for an interesting situation tomorrow, though, because day 2 of the draft, we've seen pretty significant players getting moved in the past. it could be an interesting situation where if the Sabres are still in on Marty Natchez by tomorrow, now if you are looking to make the playoffs, you should absolutely make your 2025 first-round pick on the table and available tomorrow. It actually should be right now if you're talking. If you're going to go out and look for that player, maybe a team out there still doesn't believe that you're a good enough team to make the playoffs next year. Who cares? You go offer that first-round pick next year. You think, we're going to make the playoffs, so that'll be a pick that's beyond pick 16. We've already been through the teams that haven't made the playoffs yet. Now we're getting into the territory of the teams that are drafting. We're playoff teams. Like, it should be absolutely a situation where if you're looking to make the team better now, you made the pick of Hellenius, which I still love. I love this pick for the Sabres. But if you're going to really seriously contend for a playoff spot next year, you absolutely make that 2025 pick available for trade. No questions asked at this point. Yeah. And don't even put top 10 protection on it. If you're that serious about making the playoffs next year, trade the pick. Trade the pick.
Yep.
It's pretty simple.
Yep. You're right. And if you're confident that you're going to make the playoffs, which, again, we go back to this discussion, the Sabres should be planning everything as if they are going to be a playoff team next year, Brayton.
100%.
Then this pick doesn't have to be as valuable. If you're better, and you will be better if you trade this pick for a NHL-ready player now that improves your roster now, you should be better.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about a top 10 pick.
Yeah.
And guess what? If it is a top 10 pick, well then, you're not here to make it anyway then, right? If the Sabres are picking in the top 10 next year because of where they finish in the standings, that means Kevin Adams maybe is not making the pick anyway.
So I saw this tweet. Jeremy retweeted it, and I've since retweeted it. Patrick Bacon from Top Down Hockey. He said he had him ranked fourth overall in his draft class. And he has this analysis. Perhaps Liga has declined more in recent years than my model suggests, but makes no difference. 36 points in 51 Liga games in this draft year is still extremely impressive. Buffalo makes a great pick. And some of the like projections and models. Projected chance of becoming a star in the NHL, his model has 81%. And just chance of becoming an NHLer, period, 98%. So, you know, yes. Again, I think Josh is disappointed. We've talked a little bit about this because the fact that they made the pick is disappointing. But at the same point, the value that they got with the 14th pick is very, very good going forward.
Yeah, I think probably going into the night, Brayton or Josh, feel free to both of you chime in on this. I don't think anybody was going to be mad necessarily with like, I mean, we can all have opinions on, oh, they should have taken this guy or they should have taken this guy. But it wasn't like, it wasn't going to be really the narrative of I don't like the pick. It's going to be more so the fact that they made a pick and didn't move it for an NHL-ready player. And I think that's probably where people are upset. All right, more on that in a minute. Let's go to Washington's pick here at 17.
Washington picks Tarek Parisak from Prince George in the Western Hockey League.
Tarek Iserman's fall down the board continues. Really interesting.
Yeah. Tarek Parisak, right winger from Prince George of the Western Hockey.
Really interesting player because last year, Parisak was a player that was playing, I think, the equivalent of high school hockey in Calgary. He was at a prep school in Calgary. And he jumps to the Western Hockey League full-time this year. He played like four games, didn't show much. This year, he jumps to the Western Hockey League playing for Prince George, 105 points in 68 games, 43 goals, 62 assists, and this guy, out of nowhere, almost seemingly, comes in and just shows that he can do it all in the first year of junior hockey. He was able to score really nice goals at will, be a nice setup man. He's a guy that just goes to the net and just will wait for anything there. He's not afraid to take physical shots. He's not afraid to try to get in front of pucks to try and redirect them to get into the net. He's a guy that makes his money right around the net. The question is with him, is he more than just this one-year wonder where he comes into the Western Hockey League, sets the league ablaze with his production, and, you know, is he going to be much more than just that 1 year? I think that's the question that a lot of people were kind of focusing on with him. But overall, like he's a decent player in his own end. He's not a guy that is going to just stand around and watch pucks. He's got a constant motor to him. Really, like, I didn't think he was going to go this high to Washington, but still a really nice prospect. And as long as he continues to show that progression and shows that he's not the one-year guy, Washington gets a really nice player here.
That's right.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so now Chicago. This pick is going to be up next here at 18, followed by Vegas at 19. And we're starting to get the bulk of the stronger teams, these teams that have made the postseason, maybe that went deeper into the postseason upcoming. When we look at where the Sabres maybe, tomorrow, we know there's still going to be at least, Brayton, possibly up to two players taken just right in round two.
Right.
Right away. The Sabres have back-to-back picks tomorrow in round two.
And they're in a decent spot in round two. They're at picks 42 and 43. It's a range where you always hear of like the, ooh, I like this prospect at the start of the second round. Like, he should go very early. Yep. And then there are some players that you have that, like, kind of tab on them, and they just keep falling down the board, just like, what the heck's going on? And they're in a great spot where they can get two really, really nice, solid players with those picks back-to-back, and guys that, you know, then there's always those players on these lists where I have my mock drafts and, you know, I have this guy as a first round pick and he manages to fall to the mid to late for second round, which, you know, whatever. Mock drafts are mock drafts. They're fun exercises where you just make your pick and your selection of, oh, I think this player could fit this system well, or I think this player would look really fun in this jersey. I mean, on my mock draft, I only have three players right now that have gone off the board where I picked them to originally go, and it's number one, number two, and number 15. Like, it's such a crapshoot with mock drafts, but that's the point of them. They're so fun. And, like, you know, there's going to be a guy who I probably have selected to go 27th that could be there for the Sabres at 42 tomorrow or 43, and they could pick him. That would make me ecstatic. So we'll see.
Yeah. So tomorrow, again, we'll have coverage starting at 11. Sports Talk Saturday is going to essentially be NHL draft coverage continuing here tomorrow as Paul, again, will still be live in Vegas. We hope to, again, hear from Hellenius here at some point. Paul is doing his best to get there. The logistics at the Sphere are a little bit different than what they normally are at an NHL arena. So getting, I know in the past, sometimes we bring able to bring the prospect right over to the table and Paul can interview them live. So we're hoping to get that here coming up here at some point while we are with you throughout the remainder of round number one. Okay, so Chicago is now up at pick number 18. Again, Vegas at 19, and then the Islanders will be at pick number 20.
So would you like me to read you off Scott Wheeler's thoughts on Consta Hellenius?
Let's do it.
From The Athletic. Scott Wheeler from The Athletic. Talking about him, he said he's going to become the first, or become just the fourth player ever to play at the under 18, under 20, and men's world championship in the same year. He thought he was going to be a top 10 projected pick. So, certainly interesting. Let me just read this. Okay, so this isn't from Wheeler, but he's quoting, I believe, Olli Jokinen, or a Finnish, you know, Jokinen. I just kind of jumped in real quick. I saw Scott Wheeler's. To quote Jokinen here, I'll dig in a little bit more. At year's end, Jokinen was even prepared to project him beyond Liga, the Finnish league, the top Finnish league. Quote, I believe that 6 months from now when NHL training camps start, that his hockey sense is going to give him an opportunity to play in the NHL next year. That gives him the opportunity to play and be a really, really good player in the NHL as well. I truly believe that he can make that step because the way that he plays, and he could be a two-way guy. A lot of the times the younger players, especially without the puck play, that's sometimes that they don't even want to hear. They don't want to listen because
Blackhawks are proud to select from the Muskegon Lumberjacks, Sacha Boisvert.
All right, that's Chicago at pick 18 there. Sacha Boisvert, center, going to Chicago, their second pick of the night.
And it just rounds out just saying that Consta is of committed to play defense, and he's a different breed when it comes to players of his age.
Well, I mean, that's obviously high remarks, and I would think that if there's anything out of there that jumps out to me that I'm, I guess I would say, most excited about is the hockey sense. We tend to have, I think, some players on the Sabres still, Brayton, when we're watching games, that necessarily always don't find themselves in the right position. Some of them, of course, when they don't have the puck, being in the right spot. Look it, we're talking about a player that we're still maybe waiting for the Sabres to confirm about whether they're going to buy out Jeff Skinner or not. Well, what's one of the negative checks in the Jeff Skinner column? It's what is he doing off the puck to maybe help make his team better? And in the defensive side of things, it's usually, a negative that we tend to point out. So you're trying to find players that have this smart hockey sense, know where to go when they don't have the puck, know what to do defensively to maybe put their team in a better position to defend the opposition. So that's some good signs, at least what I take out of that.
Yeah, I mean, just there's so much to like about Hellenius and just the potential that he has. Again, he's not a super flashy offensive player, but he's just the type of guy that's going to do the right things consistently at the next level, at the top level of any league that he plays in. He's super reliable in his own end. He's good offensively. He brings enough to the table where he's a contributor at every level that he can play at. And again, my ceiling for him at the at the highest level is an Alexander Barkov type of player. Just a guy that is so good in his own end, so good in the offensive end, and an X factor on the ice no matter when he steps out there. And as you saw it in the Stanley Cup final, especially for Florida. And even throughout the playoffs, Barkov, when he was on the ice, he shut down every top player that he played against. He made sure that he did not give an inch of room for that player. It could be Connor McDavid. It could be Leon Draisaitl. It could be Mika Zibanejad with the Rangers. Who else did Florida play? Brad Marchand. And then Steven Stamkos or Nikita Kucherov.
Yeah.
He did not give an inch to those players and did not let them flourish. And Konstantin Hellenius, at least in my view, at his highest ceiling, could be a similar player.
That would be outstanding. I mean, when we watched the Stanley Cup playoffs, if you said to me, like, you know, give me a handful of guys that really jumped out to me over the course of the playoffs, and obviously McDavid was outstanding, but Barkov to me would be right there after him in terms of like players that you just know they're great. We know he's maybe the best complete two-way player in the league, but to just see it on display against these top players, Brayton, in the playoffs, a big reason why Florida is the champion here, a big reason is because of just Barkov's game being great and then raising even to another level against the rest of the league's great in these playoffs this year. He was outstanding. I know he didn't get a lot of love for Conn Smythe. I would have, had McDavid not put up the numbers that he did, I would have thought maybe he could have really been a serious candidate to win that award. I thought he was outstanding.
And I mean, I have no problem with Connor McDavid winning the Conn Smythe. I mean, he set a record for the most assists put up in a single playoff, beating an assist by Wayne Gretzky. And we all know Wayne Gretzky records. Most of them are never going to be broken. And that's one that this year in the playoffs was broken by another great Oilers player. And, you know, McDavid is set for even more greatness down the road and seeing the numbers that he put up and what he possibly could do. I had no problem with McDavid winning the Conn Smythe this year, putting up the fourth most points in a single playoff history. But yeah, Barkov would have been probably the next best player right there. Just again for his two-way play. I think Tkachuk for the most points for Florida this playoffs, but yeah, just the way that he goes out there and executes, he makes every single shift he's on the ice count. That's the best way to describe Alexander Barkov, is he will go out there and he will give everything he can on every single shift and make it count no matter what. He's not perfect by any means, obviously, but he's not the most skilled player even. He shows great skill, don't get me wrong, but he is just the type of player I think every hockey team wants to have on their lineup. And if Konstantin Hellenius could be anything close to that, the Sabres are going to get a huge win with this pick.
All right, Paul Hamilton in the media right now, they're meeting with Konstantin Hellenius right now in Vegas. So we'll have that interview coming up shortly. Paul just tweeting out a couple of things. He said that Hellenius had said that his older brothers really helped him battle hard and work hard, that he had to play against them, you know, growing up all throughout this. Another thing he says, quote, "I like to battle hard. I'm not the biggest guy, but I'm a strong guy." So that's kind of a some of the things that you mentioned of the traits of Barkov being so good. I mean, the fact, how often have we watched a game and say, oh, there's another lost battle in the corner. There's another lost battle in front of the net. There's a lost battle that leads to a turnover, Brayton, that maybe leads to a goal being in the Sabre net. So to the fact that he says he likes to battle hard, I think that's a refreshing sign here. Again, we know it's not going to be maybe immediate, but it's hard to separate right now because you want to judge the pick for what it is,
right?
And we're going to get Vegas here in a moment. They're at pick 19. You want to judge the pick for what it is. It's hard to separate the fact that there's this immediacy, this clock ticking, this feeling from Sabre fans like, well, you didn't trade the pick. We want NHL players right now. So like to separate that from breaking down Hellenius and what we like and maybe don't like, it's tough. And I'm understanding why fans maybe are still, at the end of this night, they might be disappointed. All right, we'll pick up with that in a minute here. But Vegas, the Golden Knights, ready to pick here in Vegas. So let's see what they go ahead and do at pick 19.
The Vegas Golden Knights, with the 19th selection of the 2024 amateur draft, are proud to select from Tri-Cities of the USHL, Trevor Connolly.
So again, this is a fearless organization.
All right, Trevor Connolly going to Vegas as they make the pick in Vegas. Trevor Connolly, a left winger. So he ends up going to Vegas. The Islanders are next to pick 20, and then it'll be Montreal at pick 21.
So before I get to a thing that Consta Hellenius described at the NHL Combine, talking with Adam Kimmelman from NHL.com. Little background on Trevor Connolly. Connolly is a very, very gifted forward. Plays an incredibly skilled game. Some consider him maybe the second most skilled player behind Macklin Celebrini in this draft. Good speed, good motor to him. He's got a really nice, impressive shot. Can puck handle with some of the best in this class. Where Trevor Connolly is polarizing, though, is the way that he conducts himself on and off the ice. On the ice, he tends to be sort of a reckless player. He can take some bad penalties or get himself into bad situations when you least can afford it. And then off the ice, he really needs to mature his game. A couple years ago, I think it was, there was some concern about his character. He posted a picture on his social media account with a swastika that he had conducted with some of his classmates in like a library or something like that. So off the ice, there's some maturity concerns with him. On the ice, he's super skilled and super talented. It's just making sure, you know, that he's a decent human being going forward. But I had him actually going to Vegas. So that's number four for me in my mock draft getting right. But he's going to go to Providence College and play college hockey there and see where things kind of go from there with Trevor Connolly. Again, super talented on the ice, but a question mark off the ice.
Another thought here on Hellenius, the Sabres pick. Bob McKenzie, in his pre-draft rankings, quote, Hellenius was ranked as high as number 3 overall by two different scouts, and 5 scouts had him in their top 7, while another 5 that I spoke to ranked him in a range from 11 to 18.
Wow.
So
yeah,
we are seeing some that had him going around. This was appropriate.
Yeah.
And then we're seeing some that had him ranked as high as 3rd.
Yeah. So Consta Hellenius at the NHL Combine, he said with Adam Kimmelman and during, you know, his meetings with the media that he wanted to focus on improving his physicality and straight line skating speed this offseason. However, he also did say, quote, I played against NHL players, and it gives me confidence because I think I did a great job against them. I think I'm very close to the NHL, unquote.
All right.
And by the way, the Jokinen that I was mentioning, it was Olli Jokinen.
It was, okay.
Olli Jokinen, it says in the NHL.com article that he coached him. I don't know if it was head coach or assistant coach. Either way, he's been with Jukurit in the Finnish Liga as a coach on that staff. So a very well-known Finnish player having some high remarks for Consta Hellenius, a longtime NHLer too, having high remarks.
All right. So we have made it to pick 20 here with the New York Islanders. Then it'll be Montreal 21 and Nashville 22. Again, the Sabres, unless there is a trade, are done selecting for the night. The draft will complete with Philadelphia taking pick number 32 tonight. And then, as Brayden mentioned, the Sabres have two early picks back-to-back tomorrow in round two. And we'll have that coverage for you tomorrow starting at 11 a.m. All right, Brian Colziel here. Josh Schmidt, Brayden Wilson, TJ Luckman here in Amherst. Paul Hamilton is at the Spear. He's actually speaking right now with Consta Hellenius, the center, the Sabres' first-round draft pick here, 14th overall, 51 games last year in the Finnish League. He scored 14 goals, had 22 assists. He had 7 points in the U18 World Junior Tournament in five games as he was there representing Finland. 18 years of age, 5'11", 189 pounds. All right, we will take a timeout here. And we've got the Islanders, Canadians, Predators all on the clock. We're going to hear from Hellenius here shortly as we roll on. Our continuing coverage of the NHL Draft on WGR brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys. By New York's Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? And by Dash's Market. Shop the family of finer foods, Dash's Market. Timeout. More draft coverage coming up right after this on WGR.
Draft continues along here. The Buffalo Sabres selected Konsta Hellenius, 14th overall from Liga. You can read more on him on our website, WGR550.com. Some people comparing him to Alexander Barkov and Patrick Laine out of the draft. 36 points in 51 games played this past season in Liga. A couple draft picks since we've last been on air. Well, one draft pick, Cole Eiserman to the New York Islanders, winger out of the United States National Team Development Program at 20th overall. Before that, the Vegas Golden Knights select Trevor Connolly, left winger from Tri-City in the USHL. And the Chicago Blackhawks at 18 overall select Sacha Boysvert of the Muskegon Lumberjacks USHL. Brian, back to you.
All right, Josh, thanks for that update. The Islanders just made their selection. Again, Cole Eiserman. And that was Brayton. I know I promised you could take a bite of pizza, but I lied. Quick thought here on Eiserman. I know you had said, in terms of goal scoring, he was the most talented goal scorer left.
Yeah, best goal scorer overall in the entire class. The big question with him is how well can he round out his game to complement the goal scoring and be an all-around better efficient player at the NHL other than just being a one-trick pony. And that's the biggest concern with him, and it led to him falling all the way to 20 to the New York Islanders, which is very funny because one of the biggest things with the Islanders is it's a Lou Lamoriello team. They're usually boring, and they don't score. So they take the best goal scorer available to them that they and it happens to fall in their lap at pick 20. Another one of those very good slam dunk home run picks in this draft overall.
All right. We will get Paul Hamilton's take on the pick here coming up, but Paul, just with the rest of the media, met with the Sabres' first-round draft pick, Konsta Hellenius, and we're going to go now to that interview at the Sphere in Vegas.
Congrats.
Thank you.
After you had talked to the Sabres, did you have an idea that maybe they might be interested in you?
Yes and no, but yeah, it was good pick.
What kind of conversation did you have?
Very similar than other teams, just about my season, long season, and about everything, my family, and yeah.
How would you describe your season? Playing in three tournaments, playing in Liga, what did you gain from the entire experience?
Yeah, it was a long season, I think, over 90 games. Yeah, I think I played really well, and against men, it's hard.
What's the experience like of playing against men when you're, I guess, you start when you're 16 or 17?
16.
I mean, what was that like for you to play against grown men when you're that young?
I think it was good for me to play against men, because I like to battle hard, and I'm not the biggest guy, but I think I'm a very strong guy, and it was good for me.
Did you, it looked like last year, I mean, you had a terrific season last year. Did you really feel like you belonged last year, I guess, so to speak?
Belong to where?
Like, did you feel like you weren't just a kid anymore? You were like their peer, you know what I mean? That type of thing?
I don't know. It felt a big thing to play in Liga, but I think I did a great job on the first season in Liga, so yeah.
Hard, has that always been part of your personality?
Yeah, I think so. I said that I have older brothers, so we fight when I was a kid, so that was the one reason why I like to battle hard.
Would you and your older brothers battle, and was it like knee hockey or other things?
in hockey and every other things.
Who usually won the fights?
What?
Who usually won the fights? Your
brother? Big brother. He's so big guy.
And your father played pro too?
No. Junior.
Okay. What do you know about the Sabres, players, teams? Watch them at all?
Yeah, I know something. It's hard in Finland to watch games because time difference. But yeah, I know the players and coach and something.
Your defensive game is one of the areas that you're really strong in. How did it become such a strength for you?
I think it's biggest reason was my coach Olli Jokinen. He said before every game that you need the defense first, and then you got the puck and you can do whatever you want. So that was the, I think, biggest reason.
Was that challenging at first?
Yeah, it was hard for me because I like to do a lot of things with the puck and attack and everything. It was hard for me, but it was good for me too.
How cool was that to have him as a coach, given how many games he played in the NHL and the long career he had?
Olli Jokinen, he's so good coach, you know. He's so active and he give you like tips all the time. You did something bad at the shift, he came to you and told do something differently, and it was a good coach for me.
What was it like for a Finnish kid to see Barkov win the Stanley Cup?
It was very nice because it's a big thing for Finnish hockey, and there was three other Finnish players and one goal, so it was a big thing for Finland.
What's this experience been like? What do you have with you? And what has the whole day been like leading up to this picture?
Who do I have?
Like family with you and stuff like that?
Yeah, I have a whole family and agents and everything. It was,
How was the trip for everybody, just like seeing Vegas and just soaking all this in?
It was a long flight, and but a nice city, but I think it's too hot for me.
What's the plan for next season? Are you going back to Liga?
I don't know yet. We haven't talked about that, but I have a deal with Tappara, but I think everything is open.
What do you think about
Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen? As a goalie, he's a great goalie. I think, he's good goalie.
Have you ever met him?
No.
You were in Buffalo a few weeks ago, right? What was that like at the combine and stuff? Did you get to see the city?
No. But I want to, but we didn't went to city, but it was a nice hotel and a nice arena.
Okay, that is Konstantin Hellenius, the first-round draft pick of the Buffalo Sabres. It was actually Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff who made that selection. As we bring Paul Hamilton now back in live from Vegas. Paul, Lindy apparently very impressed by Celine Dion being on the same stage as him.
Well, he should be. I mean, that was a nice touch. I enjoyed seeing her, especially since she's been very ill. And to see her looking good. I mean, she looked, hopefully she's feeling better. At least she looked like she was. And she's a big Canadiens fan. She seemed rather emotional that she got the chance to do that for the Montreal Canadiens. So that was good to see her here.
Yes, I agree. And Michael Buffer did a great job, too, with the Flyers selection. That was fun.
So it was interesting. When they said the Sabres are on the clock, I was kind of, why aren't the people in Vegas booing? I mean, really, you made a trade, and the guy you got from Buffalo helped you win the Stanley Cup. I don't know why you'd be upset with the Sabres, but
that's right. Well, who knows? Sabres, we know, Paul, did make a selection. I know many fans maybe are disappointed that there wasn't a trade, so we'll get to that in a second. But let's just talk about the player. And I think it's probably a good reminder to fans, Paul, that how we judge this pick, what we think of Hellenius, it has to be separated with the fact that maybe fans, like, they wanted the trade. They wanted an NHL player. I get it. But, breaking down Hellenius and what he can bring, it still can be a good pick.
despite the fact that obviously maybe fans wanted something else.
Yeah, and I hope people don't take it out on this kid. Leonard was sunk before he ever even put a uniform on here in Buffalo. So I hope it doesn't get to something like that. And it's not his fault or anything like that. And he is a good young prospect. So, you know, let him develop, let him grow. And I think try to separate your feelings, whatever those feelings might be, from the player to that you wanted to trade. And Buffalo still has a... I'm not saying they're going to make a trade by any means. I don't know. You can't predict these guys. But, you know, they still have quite a few prospects to make trades with.
Yeah. All right, Paul, stick with us here. Nashville is making their choice, so let's pick up what the Predators are doing here live.
We have a retiring scout in Glenn Sanders, and I want to thank him for his 20.
All right, I'm going to wait one moment here.
Emily will kind of give us kind of
okay,
the
now we're ready to go here with Nashville.
First of all, I'd like to give a shout-out to the great fans.
This is Barry Trotz, the GM.
Watching today, secondary, we have a retiring scout in Glenn Sanders, and I want to thank him for his 20 years of dedication and loyalty. One of the best scouts you'll ever meet. To make our pick, thank you. To make our pick, Assistant General Manager Jeff Kelty.
Nashville Predators select from Yaroslav Lokomotiv, Yegor Surin.
All right, Yegor Surin, center from the Russian League, able to go to Nashville. Toronto up next at pick 23. So we bring Paul back in here. So, Paul, we just heard the interview from Helenius. What jumped out to you the most from what he said there? I guess a couple of things that you tweeted, I was pretty happy to hear, that he thinks that he's a player that can win battles and work very hard. I know that's something that you and I have talked about many times on postgame, that the Sabre players sometimes don't, and that results in goals against.
It reminded me of our old friend Greg Bauk talking about him growing up with his brothers, how they made him tougher because he was, if he wasn't the youngest, he was close to it.
Yeah.
And Helenia said the same thing. That's kind of made him tougher, is fighting with his brothers. And he's like, well, who won the fights? He goes, the oldest won the fights, of course. But, you know, so there, he goes, there was always competition. They were always competing against each other, whether it was when they were fighting, wrestling, playing sports, whatever it might have been. And he did feel that made him a better competitor by doing that.
Paul, I know that he was asked about watching Alexander Barkov's performance in the playoffs and obviously the Finnish connection there, the two of them. I'm sure he watches him and looks up to him quite a bit. If the Sabres could get anything close to how Barkov played in the Stanley Cup playoffs, Paul, this will turn out to be a great pick.
Well, I think more to the point is his coach was Olli Jokinen, who played many, many years in the National Hockey League at a high level, was a very good player in the NHL. And, you know, Jokinen was a no-nonsense guy when he was playing. And I think, you know, that was something that Helenius could pick up playing for him. And he said he liked playing for him as a coach. So I think that helps right off the bat to have that, you know, that he has been your coach now. And a guy who's been in the National Hockey League that's long, and he can pass on a lot of tips to him from his time in the NHL.
All right. Toronto, the boos, Paul, are for the Leafs, right? That's what we're hearing right now. Is there on the clock?
Yeah, they don't like anybody here. They boo everybody. Not quite everybody, but, well, I think there's such a cross-section of fans in here. I mean, it's not just we only have people from Vegas in here. A lot of people visit Vegas. A lot of people just came for this. Oh, yeah, we can go to the Sphere, and we can go watch the draft. So I think, you know, we have a lot of fans from a lot of different teams here in the building.
And, Paul, I think I might have heard you say it, if this is a chance to get in the Sphere that doesn't cost you a $500 concert ticket, this is a chance to do it, even if you're just a fringe hockey fan.
No, absolutely. I mean, I don't know how I would have ever gotten in here without being here for the draft. I shudder when I pay $200 for a concert ticket. I can't see myself paying $500, but you never know. Never say never. But, yeah, it's, as I said, I needed everything. I needed the whole experience before I appreciated the place, because in the beginning when I was on with both you and Mike, it was like, yeah, okay. What's the hype here? And then the draft started, and with the, just everything that they can do in this building and how sharp and crisp and colorful and just everything about it, now I get it.
And one more thing on Vegas, Paul. I mean, think about this. You know, I know growing up, for me, and I know for you covering sports for many, many years, professional sports in Las Vegas were always like oil and water. Like, they just, they didn't exist. Leagues didn't even want to mention the word Vegas because, of course, that meant any sort of association with, possibly with gambling. And the NHL was the first league to really embrace it. They obviously gave the Golden Knights an expansion franchise and... You know, now obviously they bring the draft here. We know the Raiders have moved. The A's are likely going to move. So other, you know, teams are, or other leagues are now embracing what is the Las Vegas experience. I know gambling and all that sort of stuff is now more front and center and legal. But the NHL was really the first one that really put Las Vegas on the professional sports map.
Well, I noticed near my hotel, the Tropicana Hotel is being ripped down, and that's an iconic hotel. You know, from the 50s, Frank Sinatra and Sammy Davis Jr. and even people who watched I Love Lucy. That's where Ricky Ricardo, I believe, hung out. It's just an iconic place from the 50s and 60s and 70s. And why are they ripping it down? To make room for the A's stadium. That's where it's going to be.
Very cool. Quickly, Josh, we got a trade, right?
We do have
right?
a trade alert here.
Yeah. Anaheim will be trading up with Toronto. No word on the package yet, but that's from Elliot Friedman, Chris Johnston, all the insider guys. So Anaheim is trading up.
Okay. Do we have Gary Bettman, TJ? Let's see. Yeah, he's going to announce it. So let's go to the podium here to get officially what the trade is. Thank you for getting that in.
Toronto trades pick number 23
that would be cool
in this year's
Martin,
draft to Anaheim in exchange for picks 31 and 58, both in this year's draft as well. Toronto 23 to Anaheim for 31 and 58. Anaheim, you're on the clock.
All right, so the Ducks will be up here, Toronto moving down eight spots to go from 23 to 31, and they pick up the 58th in return. All right, back to Paul for just a couple of more final thoughts here. So, Paul, tomorrow the Sabres, you know, and the rest of the league will obviously be busy, but Kevin Adams will have two picks fairly early and back-to-back. So maybe, again, some movement, some trades. I know fans, of course, just want to hear all about can they make trades, but the Sabres will be heavily involved early tomorrow with those early two picks in a row.
Yeah. Who knows? I mean, really none of the hype before the draft, whether it's for the Sabres or the Devils, or none of them came to be. So that's the thing. You leading up, you hear all this stuff and insiders and this and that, and then you come here and you sit here and just watch people get drafted. So it's interesting when it comes to a trade with Carolina. It's, you know, right now, they probably, and that's a new GM. He probably doesn't want to seem like he's going to be taken advantage of. And the price was actually obviously too high for the Devils, too high for the Sabres. And that trade hasn't been made yet. Will that price eventually come down? I have no idea. I don't know what the price was. And nobody knows right now what's been going on behind closed doors. All we do know is nothing materialized from it.
Paul, the timeline for Jeff Skinner, I believe they have till June 30th to make an official announcement on him. Is there anything that you've heard over the last day that you've been in Vegas that has changed that we won't get this to be official here shortly?
They're just waiting, just to make sure.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no, you know, Adam said there's been no movement as far as the Skinner camp willing to waive the no movement. That doesn't mean there was a trade in place or anything, but I think they just look at it that...
Let me jump in, Paul, quick here. Pat Verbeek has the Ducks pick. We'll go right back to you.
That's also what courage is all about. A man who shows us every day what a great positive attitude can change things. It's a man that's beaten pancreatic cancer. Making our selection is Sudarshan Maharaj.
All
This was Toronto's pick, Anaheim moving into pick 23.
The Anaheim Ducks are proud to select from Norway, Steen Solberg.
Yes, I said during the...
All right, maybe they'll take second the player from Norway here taken in the first round. Detroit did it, pick 15, and now another one here at 23. Colorado, followed by Boston, 24 and 25 upcoming. Okay, Paul, I'll let you finish here. Your thoughts on Skinner. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. There's almost no chance there's going to be a trade, but it doesn't matter if you buy him out in the next 5 minutes or you buy him out at 4:59 on the 30th. It makes no difference. So I think the way Adams might look at it is, let's make sure for certain that there isn't going to be any trade or anything like that, or any offers or anything like that. What do you got to lose? So I think that's the way they look at it. And I doubt there would be any trade offers or anything like that. I doubt Skinner would, you know, be willing to, because he can just take the Sabres buyout and then he can go to another team.
Right.
And he's got $2.4 million coming each year for the next 6 years from Terry Pegula. So I don't actually know why he would decide to do it. Yeah, he could make $9 million. Well, he wouldn't actually, that wouldn't be the cash that he would get because it's been moved around a little bit. But still, you know what I mean. He can make right. more that way, but he now can double dip also if he just lets them buy him out.
Paul, thank you so much. Kevin Adams is going to meet with you guys at the end of the night. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, okay. He and Jerry Fortin always speak at the end of the night.
Okay. So we will be looking forward to hearing that before we let you go. Obviously, if anything happens between now and pick 32, come on back. We'll be here.
Absolutely. I hope we can talk about a trade or something. Who knows?
That's right. Looking forward to it. Okay, Paul, thanks.
Yep.
All right, Paul live in Vegas. Josh
Chris Johnston
quickly.
Just yep. tweeting out another trade coming. It was just a minute ago. No word on teams yet, but from Chris Johnston, another trade is on the way.
Okay. Let's go. I was about to jump in. Josh yep. beat me to it.
All right, good.
So, Utah is moving up in exchange of picks with Colorado.
All
so
right.
It'll be the Utah Hockey Club making the pick.
All right.
Utah will go into pick 24, where Colorado is. Boston at 25, Los Angeles at 26. We're closing in on the end of round one. But as Paul said, we'll hear from Jerry Fortin, Kevin Adams still to come here on our live coverage of the NHL draft. TJ Luckman, Josh Schmidt, Brayton Wilson, I'm Brian Colziel, and thank you for listening. Paul Hamilton in Vegas as well, back with more on WGR. .54 is the time. Welcome back here on WGR, NHL Night 1 draft coverage. It'll pick up tomorrow at 11. Of course, you're going to wake up at 7 to listen to T to Green. I'll be at Glen Oak tomorrow, 7 to 8. Got a big show for you tomorrow. A couple of guests. Kevin Sylvester will be live at the Rocket Mortgage Tournament. And yes, we're going to talk about the two hole-in-ones. Did you hear about this today, Brayton?
I did not know. What? Two hole-in-ones?
At the U.S. Senior Open, a player got a hole in one, and then on the next hole, did it again. Hole in one,
wow.
Hole in one.
Two straight hole in ones, one player.
Yes.
Wow.
First time ever that happened at a PGA Tour sanctioned event.
That's impressive.
Wow. All right, Utah is up here.
OHL, Cole Beaudoin.
Yeah.
I think the Bruins had
Cole Beaudoin going to Utah, who moved into this spot at pick 24 in a trade with Colorado. We'll get the details on that coming up here in a moment. Brayton, any thoughts here on this selection?
Yeah, he was one of the players that I was kind of surprised was still available at this point. Maybe not so much surprised, but a guy who I think a lot of people say or believe that he is maybe the strongest player in this draft. I think he's 6'2", 6'3", but is just a bulldozer on the ice. When he just... You don't want to get in his way. Let's go with that. He's strong down the middle. He uses his strength to his advantage when it comes to playing the puck with his shot, winning battles along the boards or in front of the net, trying to be a big body in front. He's a guy that is, he put up 62 points in 67 games for a Barry Colts team this year that was a little middle of the road, maybe not one of the stronger teams in the OHL, but he's a guy that has a lot of attractiveness to his game with his size and the strength that he possesses. So certainly a guy that I think will fit in with Utah pretty well in the years to come here.
All right, the Bruins are next. When is the season that the Bruins are supposed to fall off, Brayton? I thought it would have happened like 3 years in a row here. They're always one of the best regular season teams here. When
Are they going to fall off?
Don't look at me. I don't have a crystal ball.
How about a thought on Linus Ullmark being traded to Ottawa?
Yeah, that was an interesting trade. Jeremy Swayman, I think, really showed this year that he really is the future in net for that team. He just looked so solid all year round. He put up some decent numbers in the time that he split with Linus Ullmark, but he was the one that was looked upon in the playoffs for them. He helped them win that series against Toronto. I mean, what was it? I think it was the in the last, I'm trying to remember, but like Toronto, when they tried to win the series on two separate occasions, they could not score more than one goal against Jeremy Swayman, and he was stellar in that series.
He really was.
And then even in the series against Florida, he looked pretty good and kind of had the Panthers on the ropes a couple of times. And unfortunately, he gave up that one goal in Game 6 that killed them in the last few minute, or last minute and a half of that game. But overall, I think Jeremy Swayman is younger. He's got much more higher upside in terms of the long-term trajectory than Linus Ullmark. And yeah, Ullmark is still a good goaltender and showed a lot of flash with Boston over his years that was he was there. But I think age and the salary cap number was what did him in. And Boston needs to open up some space. Ottawa had that space, and they needed some help in goaltending. And they're going to get that. And Ottawa gets out of a Jonas Korpisalo contract that was a stupid contract to sign in the first place. But I think they had to retain some of it at the very least. But still, they get out of it. And Jonas Korpisalo is just an overrated goaltender. He'll go and back up Jeremy Swayman. It's probably a win-win situation for both teams, maybe other than just the fact that Ottawa still paid that dumb of a contract in silly season. I mean, free agency, as Paul has said, if I've said, silly season all around.
And that's the hard part of judging Ullmark. While he was here in Buffalo, it was very easy for us to say, oh, look, they traded away the goalie that they should have had all the time. Well, we know what's up front in Boston's team is a little different than what the Sabres have. So I guess I feel like, okay, Ullmark had success. He supposedly has, you know, matured in his game. He's played at a high level. Now let's see what Ullmark does in front of Brayton Wood. I think it's fair to say maybe, at best, an average team in front of him in Ottawa. Now we can maybe really see what Ullmark is. Maybe it was too early to really get a solid answer when he was here with the Sabres. He looks incredible in Boston in front of a very good team. Now we can maybe get the best answer of what Ullmark really is.
I'm really interested to see where Ullmark produces in Ottawa, whether or not he is going to have success. I mean, again, that team last year, their defense is pretty rough. I mean, Jake Sanderson is their best defenseman, but he's an offensive guy. He's an offensive defenseman. They have Jacob Chychrun, but they may have to trade Jacob Chychrun now because things haven't worked out so well, and he's, I think, coming up on his contract year, and he's going to want to get a lot of money. And is he worth it? I'm not entirely sure. Ottawa's certainly a big question mark. Their goaltending, I'm sure Linus Ullmark will help shore that up for them, but still, I don't know. They have the talent there. It's just about putting it together. Sounds very familiar, doesn't it, Brian?
Yes, it does. All right, Boston still on the clock, followed by L.A., Carolina. We're closing in on the end of round one. We'll have Kevin Adams before we leave you, so don't go anywhere here. Our NHL draft coverage continues. Josh Schmidt, Brayton Wilson, Paul Hamilton. I'm Brian Colesheel on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.